I be playing.
Hello and welcome again to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's a fantastic Saturday here in Tuscaloosa, and Alabama is playing away in Columbia, South Carolina today. And we have a fantastic guest with us today who's catching a fast plane on to Columbia, and that's James Benedetto, who's the assistant sports editor of the Crimson White, and will be covering the game as a sports writer for the CW. And James, it's good to have you with us. And thanks
for joining, everybody. How are we doing today?
Yeah, doing
James
good.
Is getting that CW private jet.
Yes, absolutely.
Mark, did you have a private jet back in the 60s when you were covering?
Well, I will say this. You know, I covered the away games, but Tommy Ford, who was sports editor the year after me, flew with the team.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's
really
yes. Tommy Ford, yeah. Really a trailblazer.
He talked Coach Ford. Bryant into that. Which
I thought maybe Coach Bryant just showed up at your door. Mark, it's time to go.
Let's jump on the plane. I will say this. We were allowed to go over an interview to the coach one-on-one.
Right.
A little bit more than than happens these days,
I believe. Absolutely.
In terms of access, right?
James, you just saunter into Nick Saban's office from time to time and shoot the...
Yeah, you know, I try when, you know, only when he's available and when Josh Maxson will let me, you know, just to come say hello and ask how his day's going and, you know, same old conversations.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into the games here. With me, of course, is Meredith Cummings, instructor with the College of Communication and Information Sciences in the Department of Journalism and Creative Media. And
that is a long
well, you're a busy person, there's no question about it. And of course Andrew Deere is here as well, who is the coordinator of facility operations, I believe, for University of Recreation. And hey, we're back and we got some games to talk about. Not a great week for college football, though, in terms of the matchups, right?
Go ahead, Meredith.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's slightly disappointing. I wanted to, you know, couch surf and just like flip all day and watch really close games, which we've had the last couple weeks. It's been really exciting, and we may still have those, but I am slightly disappointed with the lineup, although, you know, maybe I'll be surprised. Really looking forward to that Kentucky-Florida game. That's one of the ones I'm looking at.
Yeah, the sad thing about Week 3 is the Kentucky-Florida game is the game that I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
But it's been a good game the past couple years. Kentucky finally broke the streak last year.
Yep.
We'll get into that later about what Kentucky's got going on, but yeah, that's one of the most exciting games besides Alabama at South Carolina.
So. Has anybody been to South Carolina for a game?
I have. I went 2 years ago when they played Florida.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of fun. I was just telling James off the air, their pregame stuff is phenomenal. When Cocky comes out, they bring him out in a wheelbarrow, and like there's pipe and drape around him, and then they drop the pipe and drape, and he goes nuts. So like it's a ton of fun, but it's very different. It's like by the state fairgrounds. It's off their stadium's off campus, that's and everybody weird. Tailgates around the stadium. It's just very, very unique.
That's I've seen weird. It, but I've never been to the pregame stuff. So, the Cocky in a wheelbarrow.
I had a lot of fun.
As one does with a bird.
Yeah.
Stick it in a wheelbarrow.
The thing I'm the most excited about is I've seen YouTube videos of them doing Sandstorm before they do the
It's pretty
kickoff.
Epic.
I am just so excited. I've been telling everybody all week. I'm just so excited for the first Sandstorm. That's all I care about.
This might sound cocky, but this is a fact. Those fans are going to be fired up because Alabama's in the house.
Yeah,
and once the kickoff happens, that excitement might fade. But up until kickoff, that place is going to be rowdy.
It's going to be rowdy.
All right, y'all are going to have to educate me and maybe the listeners. I don't know what that is. What is that?
The Sandstorm. So it's this 90, early 2000s techno song. It's like this.
You'll know when you hear it.
Yeah,
that.
It's like a, yeah,
yes,
it's like
I
the
do know
biggest
what that is.
Stadium
I'm sorry,
song.
I was thinking football things, and I was like, I don't know what that is.
And then they all jump around. It's nuts.
Yeah,
and they're
okay,
waving like white rally towels.
Fun.
Looks like a sea of like people are in the lower bowl. It's the craziest thing I've seen on YouTube. So if it's crazy on YouTube, it's got to be way better live. So I'm really
wild.
Excited for that.
Have you been to Columbia?
No, I haven't been to Columbia. I was just sitting here thinking it's one of the only SEC stadiums I think I haven't been in.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been to Missouri either. So, I haven't been there.
And I don't know.
I've been to Missouri in that.
I think I've been to all the others, though.
Historically, like I said, pre-Spurrier, I don't know how hype that was or exciting all those games were, but post-Spurrier's Spurrier and beyond has been fantastic.
For sure. I mean, it's just it's one of those games that I would always look for a South Carolina game, depending on no matter who they were playing, because I love that home atmosphere. Virginia Tech has a similar type of home atmosphere. I always try to tune in for those games. Penn State has that similar feel.
Yep.
So it's those games. It's what really is what college football is all about. I think that's what people, you know, even if this like even if this game becomes a blowout, which is what maybe most of us are expecting, it'll still be really cool to see that first 5 minutes of college football. That's just the beauty of the sport. So
yeah. Last weekend I spent time with South Carolina fans, Clemson fans, and Alabama fans. We were all at the same table sharing a meal. And the Clemson
breaking
fans
bread.
And the Alabama breaking bread. That's right. Trying to find common ground. And so Clemson wore his obnoxiously orange shirt. Hi, Philip. And my friends from Alabama, we were all decked out. South Carolina folks, who I love, did not wear the paraphernalia. So I don't know what that says.
Oh, really?
I don't know if they were feeling a little insecure about the game this weekend, but
I don't know.
It was unusual.
Says something.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there, but it's been a long time since I've been to a game in Columbia. It sounds great though.
For sure.
Yeah, that's the only stadium Saban and SEC stadium Saban hasn't won a game in, I believe, right?
Which is a fantastic stat.
I think I saw that somewhere.
They're
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, last time. 2010, right?
No, I don't think it was 2007. I think it was 1993.
Wow.
Because I think one of those games that Alabama won was taken off for, I think it was NCAA violations.
Oh, right.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
I think the 2005 one was the one, I think, and then there was one after that, too. So, yeah, but I don't think Saban has won a game in
He certainly lost the last one. That's true.
Yeah, that's, absolutely.
That alone could give them hope, you know, that.
I
want to give them hope.
That's the day they made Stephen Garcia look like a Heisman Trophy candidate.
You could do 3 hours on Stephen Garcia.
Exactly. I know, yeah. A legend, no question about it.
So what games are we, besides Kentucky, Florida, which we talked about, Alabama, South Carolina, which we'll get into a little more later, what games are y'all excited about today?
Just for fun, you know, I was just in Chattanooga, and just for fun, this Chattanooga-Tennessee game, like, I don't even, it's just such a dumpster fire. I can't imagine what that's going to be like.
Oh,
I bet we'll know, 5 minutes in, how it's going to go.
I think Tennessee's going to trounce them.
Oh, sure.
I think it's going to be a killing.
Yeah.
I think they're fed up.
Yeah.
But if they
maybe
don't,
that's me being optimistic.
If they don't, I'll be all over Ball Nation.
So, James, we literally talk about this every week, but Mark trolls Vol Nation.
I do.
It's so funny.
And I have for years. It's not just this year because of their.
It's one of my favorite.
They've had struggles for years. So that's
one of my favorite fun facts about Mark Mayfield.
Yeah, I don't know how long it's been around, but back when they were beating us eons ago, I didn't visit it. There's no doubt about that. We were talking last week about Bama fans. Had there been a Vol Nation type thing around, Bama was not doing well.
Insufferable. Insufferable.
We would have been.
Yeah,
yeah.
But,
we're that way now. If we're even just like winning by 60 points, or you know,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I understand.
Difficult.
I think for me, the biggest game that I'm looking for, and I think this one might be a little underrated because of the week three matches, but it's the Iowa State game.
Yeah,
those tend to be real close games, and Iowa State didn't look too great in week one. Iowa normally has a very strong team, and I think they're being overlooked right now. I picked Iowa State in the paper. I picked Iowa in the paper. So I'm going to stick with that, especially when we get through the picks. But I'm really excited to see that game, especially because it's such a close rivalry game. Those tend to be really good games to watch early in the year. So I'm really excited about that one.
Looking at it, that is one of the tougher picks of the day.
Yeah.
Mark, you used to live in Iowa.
You know
the Hawkeyes. Good people of Iowa up there.
I know the Hawkeye. I was around mostly Hawkeye fans
in
Des Moines. I lived there, and so I'm real fond of the Hawkeyes. I always have been.
Yeah.
And you know, Kirk Ferentz. I mean, the team is kind of boring, but you know what? It's such a great program.
Yeah.
And those are two great universities. And you're right, James. This is a hard pick, actually. Iowa State has upset Iowa many times. I mean, there's no doubt about that. When Iowa's had good teams too, so. There's no telling what's going to go on there, but we'll make our picks here in a while. But I think that is a good match. The other one, Florida at Kentucky, should be really interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Real quick about Iowa, I noticed our friend George Brown in where's he? Golden Gophers. Calls it the Children of the Corn Bowl, which gave me a giggle. That was fantastic.
George, we love George's recaps.
Yeah.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
Or pre-caps.
Shout out to George. And yes, that Florida-Kentucky game. I have some very mixed feelings about that. Can't wait to talk to you guys and see what you think about that one.
Yeah. All right, well, look, let's take a short break, and we're going to be back to talk more with our special guest, James Benedetto, and also look at these games around the country. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We are in the Skybox today with our guest, James Benedetto, the assistant sports editor of The Crimson White and a graduate student in the Department of Journalism and Creative Media. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys. I really appreciate being here.
How's sports, James?
Sports are always great. Football's been really fun, especially with James Ogletree and I covering it. James is just such a pro, so it's really good to be able to learn underneath him and really get to gain a lot of knowledge. We have a lot of really good writers that are very talented. We have most of our staff is returning, so we have Jack Kennedy, who's doing, I think he's doing a little bit of everything right now since his beat doesn't start till later. He's covering men's basketball.
But and what a great name, Jack Kennedy. Yeah, I just have to say.
No question about that.
It has to be said. And I don't know if you know, I call you guys James Squared.
Oh, really?
James Squared is what I call you on the show.
Well, like I said, I love that nickname. I think we should try to keep that and try to bring that into the newsroom a little later. And, you know, again, a lot of really good sports are starting up right now. Volleyball has really been impressing us. I mean, again, another good start after last year. I think last season they went 10-0, which was the best start in program history, and they were ranked last year. So hopefully they can kind of keep it going. Soccer has also been really impressive. I think they're only one loss right now, 4-1, 5-1.
Wow.
So really, if they could kind of keep it going before SEC play happens, I think they might have a chance to really upset some teams there. But really, outside of that, I mean, everything's kind of been status quo as of right now. We're waiting for swimming to kind of get started. I think they start next month. And then, again, once basketball starts and, you know, everything kind of breaks open. So it's been really interesting, really fun to cover.
James and I had lunch this past week with Philip Hirsch, former Chicago Tribune reporter. He's covered, I don't know, 30 years worth of Olympics, more Olympics than anyone. He's really impressive. And I mention this because we were talking about big college sports versus those sort of unsung heroes. And James, you used to play for the hockey team, right?
Yes, I did. Oh. Yes, I did.
And you were the president.
I was the president for a couple months. I had a little bit of an issue with some school, so I had to step away from the position. But I did play for 3 seasons. It was a great time. I was able to, you know, live out the dream of playing in college. So that was such a wonderful experience. But, you know, now I got more into my field and more in what I was interested in.
Sure.
Journalism and school kind of took over.
That's great.
I do think, and I don't want to offend you, although I don't think this is news to you, I do think people listening will be like, wait, we have a hockey team? One thinks of Alabama Crimson Tide, they don't automatically think Frozen Tide hockey team.
No, absolutely not.
And it's such a cool name.
Yeah.
It really is. That's wonderful.
I think that it's just the tough thing is that, again, it's not on campus. It's not something that we can really promote. We have to drive an hour for practice and for games. It's definitely tough to try to promote that. But at the same time, I mean, it's always fun to wear something with Alabama paraphernalia on it. You know, I think my sophomore and junior year, we actually like got red helmets and put the stripe in it. Look as close as to the football team as we could be. But yeah, it was a ton of fun, and I had made really good friends and had some fond memories of playing. And it was just a great time.
So you're catching the supersonic jet to Columbia soon.
Yeah,
what are you guys looking forward to? You mentioned a couple things earlier, but what from a sports writer perspective do you look forward to about this?
I always love, outside of the fans and the crowd noise and all of that, I really enjoy the game within the game type feeling. Like what's going on prior to the snap, after the snap. I always find that as sports reporters, we are always so focused on the game and what's happening, but there are these little storylines that come up throughout the game. I think the one that I was thinking about recently and when we were started to develop a little bit was Landon Dickerson and Raekwon Davis. They tend to have some type of a match with each other every time they're even in warm-ups or in practice, and they always are trying to get each other better, and I love those little storylines of, okay, like, who do you love to go up against? Who's the guy you need to practice against every day to make yourself better? And I love those little stories, and we'll see that, you know, in warm-ups. I think in the Duke one, Raekwon came off the ball and just hit Landon like he was, you know, a bag of flour, just moved him right out of the way. And Landon loved it. And then, like, the next time the two of them came around, like, he held Raekwon Davis up. Now, Raekwon's 6'7". I mean, that's a tough man to hold up. So it was just really impressive to see how they kind of go after each other. And I love those little games within the games. That really reminds me of my time playing and being an athlete. So.
Yeah, that guy's a beast. I mean, I would love to stand next to him just for the visual of him, because almost 5'4", and he's like,
he makes all of us just look up, straight up at him. I mean, I feel very, very short when I'm right next to him asking for him questions.
He reminds me of Maurice Beeples. I don't know if anybody knows who that is. He's at Tall Maurice on Twitter. But Maurice, I visited when he worked for Bleacher Report. I met him there. And I thought, why is his Twitter handle Tall Maurice? This man is the tallest person I've ever seen. He actually helped start Barstool Sports way back in the day when it was an infancy. Nobody knew what it was. But that's who he reminds me of. Every time I see him, I'm like, that is a tall dude. You know?
Oh, that's great. Well, James, you and James and the sports groups are doing such a great job. You know, they're such good writers and good reporters, and it certainly strengthens the entire Crimson White, operation to have such a strong sports team. And so it's, you know, y'all have just done a great work. And I think that, one thing we know when you're out covering these games, it's going to be very professional, very well done. And I think that, one of the things at Alabama, too, is that, and it's a function of, like, Nick Saban having such a winner here. You all get to work at a very high level. You'd be great reporters anyway. Mm-hmm. But because the team does so well, you get to travel. In fact, our budget, we always talk about on the advisor.
I mean, he's got the plane picking him up.
Yeah, well,
he's
jumping up. And
there's,
15 minutes,
yeah,
so.
You're right. And there's not just one bowl game. There's two now, every year. Yeah. So, but it helps. So you also have the opportunity to cover college sports at the highest level, which is great. But you totally live up to it. I mean, I think the sports desk is so strong. And such great people.
Thank you so much. And I think the big thing, too, is that it's not only just football. We're really, I think the biggest thing, especially for this year, is making the consistent effort for all sports, even club sports.
Right.
That's been the one thing that I've noticed, especially kind of coming through the system, that we could do a really good job of trying to cover as much as we can, especially with how the media landscape has kind of changed in the past year. Right. The Crimson White trying to step up to be a newspaper for the university and for people outside of the university has really become a really big deal for us in the newsroom. And when we had production last night, we're slaving over a 16-page game day to make sure it looks as perfect as it can be. I really enjoy the work we put into it. And it goes from, our editor-in-chief all the way down to the designers to the contributing writers. I mean, everybody really buys in and pitches in some really great work.
Right.
I don't want to get too fuddy-duddy and cerebral academic. However, I do think it's really interesting from a sports perspective what James is working on his thesis. And I think some of the things that he's seen in working on that, just tell him what it's about real quick, because I think that's really an interesting thing.
Yeah, so I am looking at gender discrepancy in sports coverage. So basically what I've noticed is that if, when you write about a men's sport and you write about a women's sport, sometimes the writers, which are mostly male, which as I've found out, use certain phrases or key terms or topics to shy the limelight of credibility to something else. So for instance, the biggest example I have is, I think it was a swimmer in the 2016 Olympics, I think it was Rio. The reporter used the male coach as the reason for the swimmer's success. So instead of giving the swimmer all the credit, he found something else to give the credit to. So those type of things, I've seen that in the writing, and I think that it's something that I'm very conscious of when I report on women's sports. I mean, I covered softball in the spring last year. I will be covering softball again this year, and then I covered volleyball in the fall. It's something that I have to be really conscious of to make sure that I'm not using that similar type of language, because it's not fair to the athletes. These athletes work really hard throughout the week. There's no reason in our sports coverage and our game coverage that it should be any different, no matter gender.
Right. I remember in some presentations I put up a slide of a picture I took in the press box, and just rows and rows of men, And like I would ask the group, what's wrong with this picture? And there are no women in these pictures. And I think it's great that you're choosing to look into not only the fact that not enough women sports writers and sportscasters, but also drilling down deep into how the coverage is in terms of how male writers, for instance, react and how they may be not even realizing, what they're doing wrong in that regard. And I think that's great. It'll only help journalism and help also. Help the athletes to get the proper credit that they deserve in women's sports. And also, I've never understood why it's just, and it's not this way here, but why men would cover men's sports, women's sports. Or where are you going to cover women's sports? But, it shouldn't be that way.
No.
So, So, look, we're going to take another short break, and we'll be right back to talk more with James Benedetto and make some college football picks. You're in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone.
Back to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Decent slate of games today, not the best, but definitely not the worst in our time here in the Skybox. We are going to get to our picks. We have our good buddy James Benedetto in the house today. James, welcome back.
Thank you.
We've been really exciting talking to you. You know, I think you're leading the picks on the CW Pick'em on the back.
Right.
14-1, is that what you said?
No, 11-1.
11-1, excuse me, I gave you some credit.
They drew a little crown on his head.
I know, and tell us, crown.
Yeah, we need that on
Tell us day. About the one that you missed.
Oh, I tried to be bold and pick Texas at home. I thought Texas was back. I believed in the hype. And
Texas
LSU,
is not back.
No, LSU took care of business, y'all. I mean, they're
I'm
real
telling you
I think it's an indictment more on, or not an indictment. I think LSU is just better than we expected. I think Texas is still a very good football team.
Yeah,
very nervous about playing LSU.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, we should be nervous.
Yeah, I think Texas needs another year. One more year is really what I think. But LSU, just the way they played the complete game, and actually now they have an offense, it looks like.
Yep.
That's the scary part.
That's the hard part right now.
Burrow.
That guy,
I mean, talk about fearless pick. I'm going to say right now, why not him for the Heisman? Why not? Just wait.
That's a good question.
Impressive, and he just was unstoppable.
And I mean, if he really takes care of business throughout the rest of the season, he could be a pick. Because if you think about it, you had Texas on the road, you'll have Alabama on the road.
Yep.
I mean, those are two tough games, and I think the rest of their schedule is fairly tough. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I know they are going to be a team to compete for a college football playoff spot, and I think it would be a shame if they really don't get a serious consideration. The way Georgia has played the past few years, I think their time might be moving on. I think LSU might be a team that gets some love this year.
This might sound crazy, and I was talking to one of my buddies about this. Before we get into our picks here, it might benefit LSU to come here and lose and not have to play Georgia in an SEC championship but go to the playoffs.
That's what happened. That sounds crazy.
That sounds crazy.
That's the Bama way.
Or win here, lose to Texas A&M, or you know, like have one loss and still go to the playoff because you took care of business everywhere else.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting little caveat that I feel like we haven't talked about with any other team besides LSU or besides Alabama in the past few years. So,
and to jump in on your point, I also have this feeling that there is going to be a loss somewhere that's going to shake up the top four.
Yeah.
I really feel it this year, especially with just how the games have lined up. You know, we've seen Clemson not play as great. Alabama's played two great games, but against teams that haven't really, I don't think, you know, light up anybody's radar.
Right.
LSU looked really good on the road. So I think that there's going to be some movement here in this top four. I mean, Michigan almost lost to Army last week.
That was a game.
That's a game. So
not
I think
surprised that, at all, though.
Yeah.
The hardball way.
Right, yeah.
Army's a good
khaki,
team.
Khaki
too,
pants let me down.
Yeah,
honestly.
I know. We'll have to see.
But, you know, with LSU, I thought that one good thing for Bama, I thought, because I'm really worried about LSU having an offense as a Bama guy. You know,
sure,
we should be.
But one good thing I thought is that LSU's secondary gave up a lot of Texas passed. They got over 500 yards total offense. So that's one little silver lining maybe because Bama's got a better offense in Texas.
Yeah.
And if they can put up 500 on them. Mm-hmm. But LSU will come in here, you know, with a good offense. The offense has been their Achilles heel all this time.
Yeah, so for sure.
It is a little scary that Joe Burrow's doing so good.
Yeah, when you talk about that top five shakeup, I'm hoping it's Clemson. I'm not even going to lie. I want that ship to tank. As long as it's not Bama, then
I mean, listen, they play Syracuse this week, so maybe. I mean, you never know. And I think the other thing, going back on your point, Mark, is that the only thing I think that might be the silver lining for Bama fans is that Alabama's secondary is a little stronger, a little bit more experienced.
Yeah.
Texas's secondary really is very new, and they're still trying to build those students to be better athletes there and be ready for college football. Right. So I think that's why I keep saying I think Texas needs one more year to be a true contender to really run through the Big 12. But we'll have to see kind of how the rest of the year plays out because you play Oklahoma twice. If you're in the Big 12, you play Oklahoma twice.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to see kind of what happens.
Yeah, God, you're right. That's tough too for any team.
Well, let's get into our picks. 11 a.m. on Fox, we have Ohio State at Indiana. I don't think anybody will have trouble picking this one.
No.
I'm going to go ahead and say the Buckeyes off the top of this is not a basketball game, so we're going to take the Buckeyes.
Yep, the Ohio State University for me.
They lost the lawsuit. Did you say that?
You know what? I did not see that. Yeah. Although it's funny that you say that because I was just deciding the other day. You know what? Anybody with the in the front of, I'm just going to pick them every time. The University of Alabama, the Ohio State University.
Shockingly, they can't trademark the word the.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. They got thrown out this week.
Right.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm underwhelmed by this decision.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I have to agree with both of y'all. I mean, Ohio State seems like the clear choice to me. I think just obviously the team is just set up and has so much talent. I got to go with Ohio State here.
So. I'm going Ohio State, too. You know, but it could – weird things happen in the Big Ten at these games.
Yeah. Ohio State loves to lose a game they're not supposed to.
They do love to, they do love to live down to the competition.
But it won't be Indiana this year.
But, no, I agree. So. I think they'll blow them out as well.
Yeah. Sticking with 11 a.m., we have Pittsburgh at Penn State. I don't think we've picked Penn State yet this year. I believe it's our first Penn State game. Even if it's not, that's what I'm going with. Who do y'all have?
Yeah, I'm also going with Penn State. I have a little sentimental attachment to them. I used to live up there, and I used to cover State College when I was a reporter, and that's one of my beats. And I love the atmosphere. I was homesick. You know, I was out of the South for the first time at that point in my life, and it was good to see some big college football. But I have a picture of the goal line stand on my wall. You know, like I have great, like, sort of old school respect for Penn State.
Yeah.
But in this game especially, yes, they're going to win.
You know, this one kind of gave me some trouble because Pittsburgh was in the conference championship with Clemson last season. Now, again, if you want to argue if they should have been there or not, that's a whole that could be a whole other hour that we can talk about here.
Right.
But I'm going to stick with Penn State as well. I think at home, that's just a different atmosphere. I don't think teams are ready to play at Penn State's arena. I think that's a really tough place to come in and try to steal a game. Like Bryant-Denny Stadium is here, like Tiger Stadium is for LSU. I think that's just one of those similar type of arenas. It's so hard to go in there and win. So I think Penn State and that crazy crowd is going to be ready to go.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Nittany Lions too. And Meredith, I understand that. You know, it is there's a you know, Bama has a history with Penn State. It's really a good one, and that's been really interesting to see. And you know, Bama hadn't played them now in a while, but. I have a lot of respect for that program. There are other things that the school didn't do right or the program, but in terms of how they're doing now, I believe this is a big rivalry for them. I think they quit playing Pitt for a while, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And they renewed that series, and I'm glad they did that. But I'm going with the Nittany Lions.
You reminded me, Mark, that when I moved up there and I arrived, they all knew I was coming from Alabama and I was an Alabama fan. On my desk, on my computer, was a very large picture they greeted me with of Joe Paterno.
Oh.
And being the Bama fan that I was, I took it down and I drew horns and a mustache on him and I put it back on the wall.
Yeah.
And that was sort of prescient, you
right.
know, I now know, but they right. really gave me grief when I was up there all the time. You know, it was difficult atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, aside from that horrendous situation that happened at Penn State, but in terms of the football team itself, you know, it's been a good program throughout. Yeah. Throughout their history.
All right, biggest game of the weekend. We have Chattanooga at Tennessee. I don't know if I said this on air or off air, but Tennessee's going to destroy Chattanooga. It's time. I think they're angry. Also, Chattanooga is an FCS team.
Right.
They should destroy Chattanooga.
Let's hope.
It would be like Bama playing Chattanooga. I feel like, and you know, Tennessee is just going to be back with a vengeance. I feel like they're just going to have to be tired of it. And if they lose this game, I don't know what. I just don't know what. You know?
Chairman
proof.
Oh,
yeah.
A lot of money.
There's some kind of funny bet to be made there. I'm not sure what it is. I'm going with Tennessee. I'm not even going to touch that.
Yeah, I mean, I always get little hesitant to pick Tennessee. Last week I did pick BYU to upset Tennessee at home, and I was right. Hopefully, like Tennessee this week, hopefully they can just come through for me this one time. This is all I'm asking for.
I've never seen more people at one time picking Tennessee and so nervous about it, you know?
you have to be.
I'm definitely anxious on this one.
I have to tell you, I would love it if they struggled in this game. The Vols.
Come on, Mark.
The Vols, sorry.
What's that Vol Nation?
But Yeah, I just want to see the reaction of all nation. Really. No, I agree. I think Tennessee's going to blow them out. I think they got to go out there and play some good football. This may be the only game they're going to win all season. I don't know. I'll have to look at their schedule. But they are starting off 0-2, and it only gets harder for them after this week once they get into the SEC schedule. But yeah, they should blow out the Mocs. I think they should do that. But like you said, man, you can't pick them with confidence any week at this point.
I'm giggling because I'm imagining Mark. You know, last 2 weeks we talked about Tennessee and Mark trolling the Vol board, Vol Nation boards, and I feel like if they lose, this is going to be the most fun you've had all year. Just jumping on there.
Vol's Twitter's been fantastic already.
Yes, it
has. It's been so good.
It's unbelievable.
All right, we got to move on from the Vols. 11 a.m. Kansas State at Mississippi State. Interesting game here. Who do y'all have for this one?
I got Mississippi State. I just don't think Kansas State can do it. Mississippi State's looked pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kansas State really hasn't been the same Kansas State team that we've seen in years past. I think they've kind of dropped off since they had some prominence in the Big 12 for, I think it was like, what, 2 or 3 years there?
Right.
I think Mississippi State will take this one. I think it might be a little closer than what people are expecting. I think Kansas State is still a very good football team, but I think it's going to be like a one-score game, I think we're talking here.
I totally agree. I think Mississippi State wins a closer one than we expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of a great former Crimson White sports writer, Kelly Ward is a big K-State fan from her family. And so I always think of Kelly when Kansas State's on our big board. But Kansas State is capable of making a game of this at any time. It's a good program. But, yeah, I'm going with the Cowbells and Mississippi State.
Yeah. 12 p.m. we have Air Force at Colorado on the Pac-12 network. I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm taking Mel Tucker and his bunch because I don't know anything about Air Force.
Yeah, I'm taking Colorado too. I wonder if this is going to be like, I don't know, it's an armed forces versus, so I'm thinking about the Army-Michigan game last week, you know, 100%. But I'm still going to go with Colorado.
And it's funny, normally when I pick teams, I normally look for a Colorado, someone that's in the altitude, but this one kind of gates it, because Air Force also, their campus is in Colorado. So normally I try to pick normally a Colorado team, get used to the altitude. I still think Colorado is going to be victorious here. I think, again, just they're a little more talented on that end. But I think Air Force, again, is just with the armed forces teams, you can't count them out early in the game. They will play hard until the final whistle, and they're very disciplined. So don't expect a lot of penalties.
True. All right, I'll go with the Buffaloes too. Colorado.
We'll skip the Alabama game and get to that pick later. 2:30 p.m. on ABC, USC and BYU. Ooh.
You know, I picked BYU last week. I had a lot of faith in BYU. I think that they played a really great game. With that being said, I like USC just on the pure basis of just a team that has a little bit more to give and a little bit more depth at some key positions, especially at the receiving core. BYU ran the ball a lot against Tennessee. I think USC will be able to game plan around that. So I have the Trojans here.
I also have the Trojans. USC has impressed me a little bit this year. Mm-hmm. I turned on their first game against Fresno State, and they caught my eye. I thought, this team is very athletic and a little different from the USC teams we've seen the past 3 years, which have really struggled. So I'm taking the Trojans for sure.
Yeah, I'm going with them as well. I thought their quarterback, whose name escapes me, y'all get him, like, awful with names, but he looked pretty good last week against Stanford.
He was the backup, too.
Yeah. That's right.
Because the first-team quarterback got knocked out of the out of the game.
The Fresno game.
There's that tiny little naggy thing about Lynn Swann's sudden resignation, but still on paper, the Trojans look better. I mean, I feel like that's not going to affect this game.
I actually know Lynn Swann a little bit through a mutual friend, and I actually watched a Bama game, Bama-Oklahoma game years ago with him, just at this apartment in New York, and I like him, and I think Glenn's a great guy, and he's been a great asset to college and pro football. But they have had problems within the administration. I understand. It's sad to me that he's having to step down there because he's a really good person. But I do think the program, I do think this team, I agree, Andrew, I kind of respect what they're doing. I think it's a little different. I think their toughness, they just seem to be tougher. They're not, when things go wrong, they're continuing to come back. They did have the quarterback who got carted off the field. They got this new offense they're calling the air raid offense, and I think they stepped it back up again. And last week really showed something against Stanford, you know. So I think I'm going USC too. All right. And hey, we got let's get in another quick pick here, before a break. Stanford at UCF. This is a great game.
This is actually a really, really great game. I'm going with the Knights. I'm going with UCF at home. Stanford, like we just talked about USC, they got whooped last week.
They did.
They really did. And UCF is they are not to be trifled with at home. So I'm going with the Knights,
the champions. Yeah, I'm going with UCF too.
I don't want to, but I'm going to.
Same. Yes. That's how I feel. Sure.
Sorry, everybody. I have the same pick as well. we're gonna keep this going for a little while, I think. UCF at home is always a tough team to play, and they're always willing to play these big name teams. So Stanford coming in.
UCF wants to prove that they can do it.
Yeah. All right, UCF for me too. Hey, let's take a short break. We're gonna come back with more picks here in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We are in the middle of our fearless picks, and you guys, up next is the Iowa at Iowa State game. This is an interesting game. I think Iowa's won the last four rivalries, if I'm right. It seems like Iowa should be the common pick, but as Lee Corso would say, I'm going to say not so fast.
Not so fast.
I think I'm going to go with Iowa State and maybe be different on this one. I don't know. We'll see. But I feel like it was last year. No, it was maybe the year before. There was that barn burner. It was like a really close game. We'll see, but I'm going with Iowa State on this one.
You know, I have to disappoint you. I have to pick against you on this one. The only reason why I'm picking against Iowa State is I saw them in week one, and I just think that they did not have the same firepower that they did last season the year prior. I think that they're still a very good team. I have a lot of faith in the Cyclones, and they may have an upset in the Big 12 this year. I think that's definitely possible. But I just feel Iowa right now is kind of on that rise where they have a little bit more to play for. I think that they have just some more depth at some, again, key positions. I think along the lines are really is where I'm looking for the advantage there. So I think it's going to be a close one again, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring close one. So I have Iowa taking it on the road.
I'm going Iowa State purely because they're at home.
Yeah.
I haven't watched either of these teams play this year, admittedly, so I'm taking the Cyclones.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to go with the Hawkeyes. Again, like I said, I lived in Des Moines a while and still a Hawkeye fan to some degree, so I'm going to take them. I do remember when Iowa State won like 5 years in a row at one point, and then Iowa State's always apt to they made some, I can't remember, the big upset of, was it Ohio State a few years ago that knocked Ohio State out of the
playoff? Yep. They won 50-something playoff. To 20 or something.
They were like 30-point underdogs and still won. So Iowa State can really get up for a game like this. But I'm with James. I think they're not quite the Iowa State of the past, so to speak. So I think I'll pick the Hawkeyes. But I wouldn't be surprised if Iowa State won at home, but I got to go with Hawkeyes.
Got that Children of the Corn Bowl picks done, you know?
There we go.
Next up, we got Colorado State at Arkansas. Y'all know me. I'm an all-SEC all-the-time girl. I'm picking Arkansas. This may be. They really burned me last time I picked them, but trying again.
Well, you shouldn't pick them ever. I'm picking Colorado State. I'm going with the Rams. I almost feel bad for Arkansas about how much they're struggling. Their roster is really depleted. So I'm going with the Rams.
Yeah, I this one's also tough. I mean, last week I picked Ole Miss, and I was really confident in it, and Ole Miss took care of business. Arkansas really didn't look like that a dog in the fight, but I'm going to stick with Arkansas on this one. I think playing at home, there's got to be something that they can do here. Colorado State is a very good team, and no knock on them. I have some faith
James
in Arkansas.
James gets me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am going to stay in the SEC on this. I agree. It's a really, kind of a miserable time for Arkansas football right now. But I'm going to go with them because they are at home. If this was at CSU, I'd go with them. But I'm going to go with Arkansas on this one.
Next, we have Arizona State at Michigan State. This is a pretty tough pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Spartans. And it's not because of those awful jerseys that they wore last week. Awful jerseys. But they're at home, and Herman, his bunch are going to struggle.
Yeah, I agree with that. I did like Arizona State against Hawaii, and mm-hmm. I'll give them credit for that. I think that was a really good game, but I don't think they can keep that going.
Right.
I think they're still a little young, and I think that they need some more time to kind of develop that. So that's why I'm going with Michigan State here. But I think if this was a neutral site game, this could be an Arizona State win. That's how much of faith I have in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of the ones I'm very uneasy about, but I did pick Michigan State. You know, it's one of those, I don't know about this, but yeah. I'm not going to lie. I checked the odds in Vegas just to see what was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I did, you know, because I have no dog in this fight. I don't really have any ties to these two schools.
Yeah, I'm going with the Spartans too. I got to go with Sparty on this, and we'll see. We'll see what happens.
There you go. Talking about ties to schools, my alma mater's up. James, you don't know this, but I went to Western Kentucky University, which is probably why this game's on here.
Yeah,
we lost to Central Arkansas game one, bounced back last week and beat FIU.
There you go.
But you know, and honestly, if we hadn't lost Central Arkansas and Louisville hadn't looked as good as they did at times against Notre Dame, I would pick WKU for fun. Louisville's going to win this game, and I want to win this with this pick'em competition.
Andrew,
so,
it's what my mother says: if ifs and buts were candy and nuts,
right.
You know.
So I'm going with Louisville. You know, a lot of my friends will be in Nashville this weekend. I unfortunately won't be there. I'm here in Tuscaloosa. So,
well, I got to say,
and it's Louisville, not Louisville.
Louisville.
If you're from Kentucky, you say Louisville.
I got to say, Andrew, you know, I have this history with Western Kentucky of my picks. I have no history with
Jeff Brom's not there anymore, so
yeah, there we go.
Choose wisely.
But, you know, Andrew used to say, every time I picked Western Kentucky, they lost. And every time I picked against them, they won. It's just something about that team. I remember Andrew saying one time when I picked them, don't bring that evil in here. Don't pick them so they'll win.
Power fell over the studio.
Right. So this time, I'm with you, though, Andrew. I'm going with Louisville. I think
they're
going to win this
team.
Ball game. And I think Western Kentucky is having kind of a down couple of years.
Yeah, they've struggled.
So we'll see what happens.
Well, now I just feel bad. I forgot that you went to Western Kentucky.
Right.
Yeah, I picked Louisville, too. And
if
I have a shout out to my family in Louisville who, you know, I occasionally get caught saying Louisville because I'm from the South, but yeah, it's Louisville.
If this were a Friends' competition, Western would win by a mile. And so, shout out to our guy Bobby, who's been in the show before. But.
Yeah. Shout out to my buddy, Bill Samuels, who runs Maker's, well, actually his son runs it now, but Bill's Maker's Mark Bourbon and Louisville, been friends of mine
some
for
of the
30
best.
Years. Yeah.
Next week, Skybox will be in Louisville.
Yes.
At the Maker's Mark.
James, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm going with the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Again, the Hilltoppers, great name, great mascot.
Great school.
Great school as well. Yeah, I just can't. I got to go with Louisville here.
Awesome. Moving on. Sticking with the Conference USA game, Southern Miss at Troy. You know, this is kind of an interesting little little matchup we got. Who do y'all have on this one?
You know, I got Troy here. I think Troy at home is always just an interesting pick here. And I think, I mean, Southern Miss is a very good football team. I know we've seen that. And I know they played tough teams like Alabama here. But, I got Troy here at home.
Yeah. I'm picking Southern Miss. They've had a little more continuity on the coaching staff the past couple years. Chip Lindsey's Troy's head coach now. Neil Brown went to West Virginia, replacing Holgerson. Why could I not think of that?
I'm the hair better.
Bottom line, I'm picking Southern Miss to the top.
I'm going with Troy. I'm with James on this one. I just Troy because I like that school a lot, and I have so many friends who are alums, and I feel like I'd bear the brunt on Twitter if I didn't pick Troy, and I'm afraid of them, so I'm just going to say it like it is.
I have some close friends whose son is the mascot at Troy.
Oh, cool.
I can't say the name because you're not supposed to say the name of mascots, right? So.
Right.
But I out of deference to them, I try to. We rarely have Troy on the big board, but I try to go with Troy when they're on it. And so I'll go with Troy on this. But it's interesting because Southern Miss is coming in here, you know, after a couple of weeks. So I think that it's going to be interesting to see what kind of team Southern Miss, how they do in this game. But I'm going with Troy.
Yeah.
Right. Then we got a pretty big one in the SEC, Florida at Kentucky. I'm interested in this. Looking forward to seeing what comes out of this game.
I am taking Florida. Touchdown Terry Wilson. I believe tore up his knee last week, so Kentucky is playing, or maybe week one, Kentucky will be playing with a backup quarterback. So I think Florida goes in and takes care of business. Yeah. Even though Kentucky did win last year, I think Florida still has the mental edge on them with the historical, you know, just dominance. So, and Florida's just a deeper, better football team.
I think Andrew's right about all that, and I'm still picking Kentucky because this is my fearless pick for the week. First of all, y'all know I have Kentucky football ties. I have family that play for Kentucky, but that's not it. You know, they did snap that, 31-game losing streak last year when they played Florida, and while I know they have a backup quarterback, I know all of these things that Andrew said. I am one of those believers. You know, I believe they can do it again. It's going to be like a Miracle on Ice situation. I feel like they can do it again. So I'm
believing
I'm sticking
is
going to
get
Kentucky.
You beaten this pick and
I bet it is, but what if it doesn't? You know?
What if it doesn't?
This is my, let's have a little fun and pick something different because a lot of our picks are the same. So this is my,
I'm cool with that.
Like, I picked that one just to beat you guys. This is me. Yeah. This is mine.
As much as I want to get on the blue train.
I would love for Kentucky to beat
them. I got Florida for sure. I got Florida taking care of business. I think they have something to prove, especially to a lot of people in the national media. I think a lot of people are doubting Florida. I think Florida is on this revenge tour that I think we've never seen. But I really wanted Kentucky coming in, but with Wilson going down and losing Benny Snell, I can't go with
I know it's unlikely. I feel like, too, something I forgot to mention, that I just, I'm tired of rooting for teams I don't want to win, you know, because I picked them.
No,
and this
I'm
going to be rooting for Kentucky, so I might as well pick them.
You know what? I'm going with you, Meredith.
Well,
I am.
Tired,
I'm
Mark.
Going Kentucky
the,
because I'm not sold on Florida. I know they got the revenge tour going, but I thought they looked terrible in that first game against Miami.
They really
they won,
did.
But I thought they didn't look good. They didn't look together. Now, that was the first game. It was week zero.
Week zero.
There were a lot of things that were wrong with that week
football,
and that game. And I'm kind of the same way. I expect in some ways, I guess, Florida to win that. You know, they normally do anyway. You know, with Mullen, they've got a good program, a good team. They are coming back. But I think Kentucky's going to turn out the fans, and I don't know. I'm the same way. I think I'm just pulling for them to win, and I'm just going for that, and I'm going to Kentucky on it. All right. Okay, let's see. Where are we at here? We got Clemson.
Oh,
Syracuse.
Man. That is just a lot of ugly orange in one stadium.
Yeah.
Let me just say that.
No question about it.
I think Syracuse takes two black eyes in a row. I think obviously Clemson's going to win.
Yeah.
Clemson flexed last week.
They really
flexed their muscles. They took Texas A&M to the woodshed in the second half last week. So I'm picking Clemson. I don't think it's a hard pick.
Yeah, same. No contest here. Clemson. It's almost getting boring at this point. Clemson's going to win. This is how people feel about Alabama, though. Bama's going to win. You know?
You know, being from New York, I Syracuse is our college football team, even though they're like 9 hours away from where I live. So I wanted to pick the Big Orange, but I just can't. Clemson's just too good. But again, this would be the year. You know, Syracuse is at home.
Sure.
Last time this happened,
it
was a loss. So
I'm not going to cry if they pull it out. You know,
I wanted it.
I'll take that loss.
I'm gonna go Clemson too. I think they're. You know, I'd love to see them get upset in this, but I'm going with Clemson.
Great. We will be back on the Skybox with our last few picks. We'll also be talking about Alabama at South Carolina. We got James Benedetto in the house, and we will be back in a few minutes. See you all. See you all later in the Skybox, 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, it is later, and I said that we would see you later, so here we are.
Yes, we are here.
We have more picks to discuss, and then we're going to get into a little Alabama at South Carolina. But before we do that, we have to talk about our good buddy Adam Starrett's Florida State Seminoles. They're at Virginia on ACC Network at 6:30. Who do y'all have in this game?
I've got Virginia on this one just because I hate Florida State so much, and I'm tired of picking them. You know,
they're
like
very,
I decided.
Florida State is so hateable.
I know, and y'all know I have friends that went to all these schools, but Florida State especially, and so I feel bad, but I just don't want to root for them. This is my week of not rooting for people. I don't want to, so I'm going with Virginia.
You know, I liked Virginia the last time I picked them. I'm going to stick with my guns here. Is pick Virginia again. And again, at home, I always like a home team, road team kind of coming in. There's a little bit more expectation there. So I got Virginia here.
I'm going Virginia, too. I think, you know, they've won a couple of good games. I think Virginia's got just a better team right now than Florida State, and they're at home. And normally in past years, I'd never think that, of course, but this year, I believe they win it, and I'm not so sure it's even that close.
I am actually going to take Florida State. I think Willie turns it around this week.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say, but I don't even know if I believe myself when I say it. Next, we have TCU at Purdue. Interesting little matchup here. Purdue is going to be at home. I like the Boilermakers. I'm obviously a Jeff Brohm guy. Mm-hmm. Rondell Moore, I don't think it's out of the question to put him in the Heisman talk after week two. It would be rare, but I think he has been that good this year and will continue to be that good for Purdue. If they win big, I think he deserves to be in the Heisman talk, at the very least a Biletnikoff finalist. So.
Yeah, I'm going with Purdue too. They were nice to me last week, so I'm picking them again this week.
There you go. Yeah, Purdue at home I think is just a different animal. I think that they've been a really good team. Last season they really kind of came out and showed who they were. Mm-hmm. I think this year they keep it going, and I think they're going to take care of the Horned Frogs. I think there's no chance.
Yeah, I'm going to Purdue also. Although I think TCU may be like a point and a half.
That makes me nervous.
All
picking
it.
I don't know what that's about exactly.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Purdue's
at line
home
stinks.
And,
I'll tell you that.
That's why
line stinks. Yeah.
Yeah, it might. So anyway, that's just odds makers can't make up their mind. I believe it. I'm going Purdue.
Yeah.
Also.
Next up, we've got Oklahoma at UCLA. I'm just going to say it. I'm going with Jalen. Let's not kid ourselves. I'm going Jalen.
Yeah. He's looked spectacular in his first 2 weeks. I've really been impressed with his game, and I think Oklahoma just really suits him well. Oklahoma's got to shore up that defense, though. I mean, that's, you know, to give up over 20 points to Houston, I'm not really a big fan of that. So we'll see kind of what team they are. Again, UCLA isn't a great team, so we'll see. But I have Oklahoma winning pretty easily here.
UCLA's really struggled, Gosh, Lincoln Riley and Jalen Hurts, those two together is really scary. And the offense from Oklahoma is still legendary. It's still genius when you really watch breakdowns and what they're actually doing, schemes that they're pulling on people. So Oklahoma's going to win by a big margin.
I agree. Oklahoma's going to blow out UCLA. And I don't know what's going on with Chip Kelly, but that's one of the worst teams in college football right now. One of the worst offenses in college football, which is amazing considering the coach they have and the money they paid him. And it may be that he'll bring that back at some point, but yeah, that's true. But right now, UCLA is not good at football, and Oklahoma is, and that is a major blowout.
That's important.
Yeah, right.
Last game, Texas Tech at Arizona. I struggle with this one because, like James, I like a good home team, but I'm going with Texas Tech on this one.
I'm going with the Red Raiders also. I don't know much about either of these teams this year, but I'm going with Tech.
I didn't like Arizona, I forgot who Arizona played, but I didn't like the way they looked. I think it was Hawaii. I'm pretty sure it was Hawaii. I think I had Arizona State and Arizona mixed up. Moving on. Texas Tech, I think on the road, will take care of business. I really have no qualms about going against them here.
Yeah, I really do hate to go against my man Khalil Tate.
Yeah, it's your guy.
I said he's going to win a Heisman, 3 years ago, 10 years ago?
It feels like it.
That's when
he was in sixth grade.
I hadn't quite worked out that way, and I'm going with the Red Raiders on this one. Yeah. So,
talking about Alabama at South Carolina, obviously this is a very exciting game. It's the first SEC game of the year for Alabama. Don't play South Carolina often. When was the last time Alabama played in Columbia, do we know?
2010. And they lost.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So
I do remember the loss. I just forgot.
That was definitely a tough loss. And obviously those two teams are, I guess, more not a lot less evenly matched now than they were back in 2010. So I think we're all picking Alabama. But what, James, what are some things that you're looking for this week from the Alabama team and really from South Carolina as well?
I think the biggest thing is offensively. I mean, the running game really hasn't gotten going yet, and I think a lot of people have noticed that and taken notice of that. The passing game, even though, again, Alabama put up 62 points, everyone's like, wow, everyone should be great and happy about it. I don't think that they were as sharp as they wanted to be. I think Tua was really expressive of that with the media this past week. He was really not happy with his performance. And
that's such a Bama thing to do.
Exactly. So, I mean, how much you want to put stock into that, you can. I really like the defense coming in. That's the other thing, too. It's just Terrell Lewis has really looked good in his first two games, his first two starts. We had an article about him this week, and he's just a beast to deal with.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a huge factor in this game.
Yeah. I'm a little bit concerned about this game because Andrew's not wearing his Bama paraphernalia studio today, and I don't even know what to do with that.
This could be trouble.
It looks in here feel like a Kentucky Wildcats ad. Everybody's wearing blue. And last week I was like, I feel a little, anyway, I walked in, and as soon as I saw Andrew without his Bama shirt on, I thought, what's happening?
You know? I don't mean to be ugly, but one reason you shouldn't be worried about this game is Will Muschamp's coaching South Carolina. I would feel much,
better.
It's
lit in here. It's so hot.
Yeah.
You know, we had, like I say, James and I went to lunch with a guest from Chicago yesterday, Phil Hirsch, sports reporter, and we walked by Brian Denny, and I remember him saying, well, so what do they use it for when they're not playing football? You know, don't, and then we were like, James and I kind of looked at each other like, what do you mean? What do we use it for? And then he said, well, don't you have like concerts there? And it's this huge, he said, it's bigger than I thought it would be. He said, I never really understood how big it was. And we looked at each other and were like, concerts in the sacred, no, why would you like,
such a foreign concept.
Sully the turf. Like, why would you? And he probably thought we were a little bit nuts in retrospect, but yeah, like that's the kind of, it was interesting just sort of seeing Bama and going into a game, and I know it's not at home, but just through somebody else's eyes. Yeah. It was really interesting. I have to call your attention, too, to this tweet that I saw this morning. Miguel 803, so he quoted this USC student, said, if USC beats Bama this weekend, I will go crazy, go stupid. Okay? So Miguel quotes that and he says, if Bama loses, I'll Venmo everyone who likes this $1. And so, of course, I liked it. It's rolling really fast, but right now he's up to 3,348 likes.
Whoa.
I know.
That's
like,
a lot of dollars.
You know, and he said,
a lot of dollars.
And his second tweet, you know, the thing now to do when you get a viral tweet is to put some piggyback on that, like promote your latest work or the thing you love. And the thing he loves is apparently the Spurs, because that was his next tweet. And I thought, well, what an oddball thing. But yeah, Miguel, I am not going to get that dollar because Bama's going to win this game.
Absolutely. They are. Well, what score? You know, we got about 3 minutes left for the show here. What score do you think? Score prediction today.
Andrew, what do you got?
I think it's a 49-10 score. I think it's a pretty big score.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I think I'm going to stick with the same score here. Yeah. I don't really like to pick Bama to go over 50. I just don't think that that's normally their MO. I mean, last year that was kind of something that we saw a lot, and I just wasn't really a fan of that. But yeah, 49 seems about a good number for Alabama.
Yeah.
All
right.
I'm going 49-14, so not far off, but you know.
49. Everybody's in the 40s here. Mm-hmm. I'm going 52. I don't know. I picked that number like
you
twice.
Like that number.
Yeah, I kind of like that number, but I'm going 52-10.
Okay.
And we'll see. I you know, it may be a lot closer. It's an SEC game in Columbia, so I shouldn't, you know, pick them to win by 42 points, but I'm going to do it anyway because of Muschamp.
That's right.
And although Muschamp used to be a defensive genius, so, you know, we shall see if he's got anything left in the tank on defense. But, you know, they lost to North Carolina. I can't quite get over that.
I know, yeah. Right?
I don't think this is as strong a South Carolina team as they have had some years, although they've struggled, of course, a lot too. So I guess I'm going to – I'll do 52-10.
I'm hoping, too, we got a little of that Tennessee vengeance just because we lost there last time. You know, clearly, like, we should, on paper, win. No contest. But I just, you know, I'm hoping we go back for blood this time.
Do you think that Alabama or South Carolina is going to get on the board first? Kind of like that Ole Miss game where they had that long touchdown. Okay, yeah. Do we feel like Alabama's going to go on first?
I think Alabama gets on the board first, for sure. I don't see... Unless there's like a fluke weird play, I just don't see South Carolina coming out and showing much fight. So, and that sounds terrible, but
I don't know. I'm not so sure.
I feel like
we're not at home. We're gonna have to warm up a little bit, and sometimes we got to get scared before we get down to business. You know what I mean?
Sometimes, so.
I do look. You know, Tua hadn't played. The offense is not. The starters have not played that much because they've been these games have been over. Especially last week when Tua didn't play that long. Neither did the offensive starters. I do think they're going to be in the game longer. That's why I kind of think the score may be a little higher. But if they start blowing them out, obviously, you know, they'd be they'd be on the bench and the backups would be in there. But we'll see how it goes. This is going to be interesting because of the location and the history Bama has.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of a revenge game going over 9 years.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping our students listening, y'all go in there and make some noise. Pretend like it's a home game, you know, get up and make some noise.
Well, look, thanks for joining us, James Benedetto. Thanks so much for being here. Get on that fast jet to to Columbia, and we'll be looking for your coverage. And hey, it's a great day for college football, and we're gonna, you know, join us again. We'll see you right back here on the radio 1 week from now, same time, same place. You're in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.